to divide. Our Father is a divider. He divides believers from non-believers as far as blessings go, as far as prosperity goes, as far as leadership goes. And that division was established long, long ago. And I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. He's saying here, Paul is, this is the time of salvation. Don't want you to take it in vain. I've been with you through the good, the bad, and even sometimes the ugly. But we've made it because we have Him with us. And then the final thing he asks, we find and pick it up with that word of wisdom from our Father, in verse 13. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13. Now, for a recompense in the same. This is how you pay me back, Paul says. Okay, I speak as unto my children. Be ye also enlarged. I want you to grow in that. Okay, I want you to seek that salvation, to find it. Okay, to find yourself. To know your destiny, to know your purpose. 14, this is how you pay him back. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Question. And what communion hath light with darkness? Absolutely zero. You know, now I want to explain something real good. This has nothing to do with planting seeds. This is talking about when you yoke yourself to someone. That is to say, you take them into your work. That's what you put a yoke on for, is to work. Okay. And it has nothing to do with your profession, but it's a work for God. Okay. So don't ever try to hook yourself up to somebody that doesn't believe. Okay, there's a doubter. Do you know what they're going to do to you? They're going to drag you back. They're going to hold you back. You're going to spend more time trying to keep them up than you're going to be able to accomplish for Almighty God. So it's just best, don't yoke yourself to an unbeliever. It pays no dividends. It's trouble. And it will be trouble on day one, and there'll be trouble all the way through. I'm not talking about marriage now. The Bible puts aside marriage for this. If you're married to an unbeliever, as long as that unbeliever does not prevent you from studying God's Word, that's okay. But the moment they try to prevent you from studying, then that's where things can get bad, okay? God will not approve that, okay? So, just covering a few bases as we go along here, because I want you to be blessed. It is the time of salvation. It is a good message. It is good news. I want you to know something. I'm doing this for a very specific purpose. This is where God is telling Christians to separate themselves from Babel. Okay. I'm going to take you to the Old Testament in a moment when he told Israel to separate yourself from Babel. Is he talking to the same people? Well, you figure it out. Of course he is. Then we continue with verse 15. And what concord, what agreement hath Christ with Belial? Even the Antichrist, we can say. There's none. Zippo. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? That's to say, an unbeliever. There's just no part there. There's no future there. Verse 16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Now we're getting down where the rubber meets the road, okay. For ye are the temple of the living God. Do you understand that? You are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So, that's what the Holy Spirit does when you accept Him, when you believe upon Him. An unbeliever can't have the Holy Spirit. An unbeliever cannot have God dwelling in them. Okay. So you create a whole bunch of trouble right there. Okay. Especially if you want them to help you in God's work. Let me tell you, coming out the gate, God won't accept it. Okay. You'll have no part of it. Why? Well, he tells you to divide when it comes to the ministry, when it comes to the temple of God. You've got to stick to the truth, the Word of God. That's no place for an unbeliever. 17, wherefore, come out from among them, divide, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Don't read over that. If you touch the unclean, if you yoke yourself up with an unbeliever, what's God going to do? He's not going to receive you. Got it? You touch the unclean thing, and God is not going to receive you. This is to say in your work for that day, it won't happen. So it's very important. This is why Paul says, this is the way you can pay me back, is use your head. Use common sense. It's so much easier to work together, to love together, to be together, and to be harnessed in His Word, to carry it forward. I mean to plow deep and plow straight with the Word of God. That's beauty. That is a beautiful thing. Why? Because God will receive you. As a matter of fact, He has already received you. He is with you. And He will always bless you. Again, I want to double emphasize. He's not talking to somebody to make them become a goody-goody two-shoes. I'm a saint and I just can't go around sinners. Okay? That's not what he's talking about, okay? We have to go around sinners to plant seeds, to set an example, to let them see what the real truth can do for someone. But don't yoke yourself to them. Verse 18, And will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You notice our Father included both, no gender there, both sons and daughters, but your family. And that's how you can pay Paul back. You want to always think about that. And know, if you want God's blessings, if you want Him to receive you, this is one thing that He demands that you do so that you can progress. It isn't so much that you can progress, but that you can progress the ministry, that you can progress the Word of God, that you can be a blessing to others. That's what it always comes down to, that you're a blessing to others, quite frankly, just to be around you. Why? Because God dwells in you. If God dwells in you, people want to be around you. That is to say, believers do. Why? They feel that warmth. They feel that blessing that God has placed there, wisdom, understanding, prosperity, common sense. Well, how could that all be? Because God dwells there. That's why. For our Father is not just natural, He's supernatural. Good company to travel with, so you want to put on the yoke of Christ. You want to harness yourself up with Him and believers. And man, you can turn the sod, okay? You can level that ground. You can till it, furrow it, and reap it when you're working with Him and for Him. Now, I want to go to the great book of the Old Testament. I want to go to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 52, let's pick it up with verse 8, and bear in mind this is the same message to Israel. We're retaking Jerusalem, and this is prophecy concerning that. What is the watchman supposed to do? Isaiah 52, verse 8, thy watchman shall lift up the voice. With the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. No unbelievers. They're going to see eye to eye. That's why you want to be yoked up with a believer. Break forth into joy. Sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted His people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. Now that gives you a time when this takes place. Second Advent. Okay. God is preparing the people for this time. This second Advent. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God through Armageddon and through Haman God. When God bears his arm, that's where his strength is. Boy, does he have it. It's loaded. Okay. 11, depart ye. That's divide, separate. Go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. If you're carrying the Lord's name and you have him in your body, you keep it that way. You keep that yoke on real snug. And don't be taking into your ministry your witness. You see, when I say your ministry, every Christian has a ministry. Your very being is a ministry. In other words, that's why people are drawn to you, because he dwells in you. Okay. Verse 12, for ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear end. He's going to protect your back. He's going to protect your front and your back. A lot of people say, I just am so worried about the end days. Why? How could you be worried about the end days when he's going to be here with us? My, what a time to live. Verse 13, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. We're talking about Christ here. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. King of kings and Lord of lords, that's pretty good. That's who you want to be yoked to, my friend. And many were astounded at his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. And it is true that he was punished, and his body took the stripes, we get the healing. Okay. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The king shall shut their mouths at him. They won't have anything to say. For that which had not been told them shall they see with their own eyes, and that which they have not heard shall they consider. They're going to get it. They're going to understand it. Why? Because it's coming straight from the Father through the Son at that second advent. When Armageddon and Haman God take place, there's not going to be ifs, ands, or maybes. It's a done deal, you understand. That's why you want to be prepared and love him, his gentleness, his love, his understanding. When you're with him, always follow his commands. Separate yourself. That is to say, when you take someone in, plant seeds, that's fine with non-believers, unbelievers. Abraham is to be a blessing to all people. But don't be yoked to a non-believer. There is nothing there but trouble and trouble. You know, I happen to be probably one of the few people that in this generation that have actually worked horses and mules. You know, I've had a good turn at both. Never worked oxen, okay? But I've worked a lot of horses and mules. And if you ever yoke up a good horse with a bad one, you know, you got a big old double tree here and a single tree to each horse, okay? And then their tugs are hooked to those. And when you get one that don't want to work, he balks and holds back, and the other one has to pull all the load. He not only has to drag the load, but the bad horse or mule. And so when you've experienced that, you can tell how it is when you hook yourself up with somebody you've got to pull every foot of the way. Well, could you explain that one more time? And I'm not knocking people. But if they just can't get it, if God has blinded them, if they are just unbelievers, you're wasting your time. When they come back to you and ask again, then always give that answer. Don't ever grow tired of giving that answer. But don't let it interfere with the rest of your work. Because we have work to do. There are a lot of people that are starving right now for truth. If you were in our offices, you'd understand. I mean, to tell you, we're having growth right now where it's just unimaginable. Okay? Because people are starving. They're hungry. And they're reaching out. We're going to feed them. Okay? We're going to feed them what? The Word of God. And we thank our Father for the platform that He has given us that goes around the world that we're able to do that. Now let's go with to Jeremiah. We may. Next big prophet here. Chapter 51. Let's get a little prophecy going here. Jeremiah chapter 51, and we're going to pick it up with verse 44. And verse 44 reads, "And I will punish Bel in Babylon, and I will bring forth out of his mouth that which he hath swallowed up. And the nation shall not flow together any more unto him. Yea, the wall of Babylon shall fall." Now, do all of you know where Babylon is today? That is to say, the actual land, because it's going to be mentioned here. It's Iraq, okay, of today. Verse 45. "My people, go ye out of the midst of her." You divide, separate, "and deliver ye every man his soul from the furious anger of the Lord." If you're not with the Father, you're against Him. Okay. That's the way He considers it. That's the way He marks it. And that's why you do not, under any circumstances, want to be yoked to a non-believer, taking them into your work, because they're going to hinder you. Verse 46, "And lest your heart faint," you get all worried and uptight, "and you fear for the rumor that shall be heard in the land. A rumor shall both come 1 year, and after that in another year shall come a rumor, and violence in the land, ruler against ruler." In other words, the third year, it's going to happen. Now, if you were a student of prophecy, you would know that the 3.5 years is shortened. So if you're kind of watching, and you are a watchman, you need to take that into consideration as to what it was shortened to. You hear a lot of rumors, and you've got to be wise enough to separate rumor from facts and what's actually happening. You've got to pay attention. You have to watch the current events. You're living in an exciting time, and these prophecies are coming to pass right before our eyes, and you need to be aware. God is telling, this was this message God gave Israel about 600 years ago, 5+. He gives the same message to Christians today. For God is the same yesterday, He is today, and He is forever. Verse 47, "Therefore, behold, the days come that I will do judgment upon the graven images of Babylon, and her whole land shall be confounded, and all her slain shall fall in the midst of her." Just watch and observe. "Then the heaven and the earth and all that is therein shall sing for Babylon. For the spoilers shall come unto her from the north, saith the Lord." Always from that north country. Who's going to be singing for Babylon? You read the book of Revelation. You know who does. The merchants. Okay, merchants and lies and false teachings. Verse 49, "As Babylon hath caused the slain of Israel to fall, so at Babylon shall fall the slain of all the earth." You want to be ready. It's written. And it's going to come to pass. Okay. Megiddo is where the final will take place. Well, where's that? What does the Hebrew word mean? It means where the gathering place of the crowd is. So wherever the Kenites and the Antichrist are gathered together, that's where it's going to happen. It's not necessarily a geographical location. It is identified by the gathering of the crowd. What crowd? Satan's crowd. Verse 15. Ye that have escaped the sword, go away. Stand not still. Remember the Lord afar off and let Jerusalem come into your mind. You watch Jerusalem. It is the it is a barometer of the end times. You can always tell there what's coming down this pike, what's coming down the chute. 51, we are confounded because we have heard reproach. Shame hath covered our faces. For strangers are come into the sanctuaries of the Lord's house. You've been hooking up with a lot of unbelievers. They claim to believe. They claim to be so holy. They claim to be religious. But we've got a lot of religions that believe in beheading. That's really not very godly. No. Not at all. So, therefore, you want to be careful who's in the sanctuaries. And you'll be a lot wiser and a lot better off for it. Be careful who you yoke yourself up with, nation with nation, especially in these end times. 52, wherefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord. Not maybe. The days come, saith the Lord, that I will do judgment upon your graven images, and through all her land the wounded shall groan. I'm taking over. That's what our Father's saying. 53, though Babylon should mount up to heaven, though they can build that Tower of Babel all the way to heaven. Remember back in Genesis when that's what they were building, that old tower? We're going to find our own salvation. We're going to build a tower that we can climb right into heaven. We don't have to be good to get there. Though Babylon should mount up to heaven, and though she should fortify the height of her strength, yet from me, you might underline that word, me, shall spoilers come unto her, saith the Lord. Shaddad. They're spoilers, all right. They are impregnable. You can't stop them. Those that come from God. That's what that word means, shaddad, in the Hebrew tongue. 54, a sound of a cry cometh from Babylon, and great destruction from the land of the Chaldeans. Here we brought the land into it. Different prophecy actually has to do physically with the land of the Chaldeans. Well, where's that? It's Babylon. Okay. There are five dialects of the Chaldeans. They're all Babylon. Okay. And it's all Babel. So, it's the land itself. And that land it's had a rough time, and we've lost a lot of troops there. But time marches on, and we're coming to that place. Father is still on the throne, and Shaddad, the spoilers are coming. They will conquer. They will take over. It will not be a flesh army. The spoilers will not. God has a way of speaking and things happen. Verse 55, because the Lord has spoiled Babylon and destroyed out of her the great voice, when her waves do roar like great waters, a noise of their voice is uttered. Going down, friend, because the spoilers has come upon her, even upon Babylon, her mighty men are taken. Every one of their bows is broken, for the Lord God of recompenses shall surely requite. You know where you can read of this where God himself breaks the bows? You can read of it in Ezekiel chapter 39. We're not going there. It's a great battle of Haman God. God's not going to let the American army, the British army, or any other army destroy those bows. That's to say their weapons. He wants to do it himself. And he intends to do it himself. And furthermore, He will do it Himself. And that time is approaching. And you want to be geared mentally and spiritually. You want to be careful. You want to separate. That means to set aside. Stay away from trouble. Use common sense, especially in this generation. Time marches on. The sands of time, the hourglass is tipped, and those sands are running out. And we're coming up to that time when God will send those spoilers. He sent them once for Elisha. Okay. He'll do it again. No problem. Okay. Our Father is a great Father. He's a payback type Father. I don't know if you've ever read it, but He says, "Vengeance belongeth to me." And He's anxious. He doesn't want anyone to take that away from Him. 57, "And I will make drunk her princes and her wise men, her captains and her rulers and her mighty men, and they shall sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake, saith the King, whose name is the Lord of hosts. And thus saith the Lord of hosts, the broad walls of Babylon shall be utterly broken, and her high gates shall be burned with fire, and the people shall labor in vain, and the folk in the fire, and they shall be weary." You got to know what that fire is, dear one. The fire is the Word of God. God is a consuming fire. And in that dimension that will transpire at that time, that cleansing fire, it's not a fire that destroys, but cleanses. It's going to happen. Do you know what it feels like to you, that consuming fire, the Holy Spirit warming your heart? When He touches you, when He lifts you, when He loves you. But to the enemy that has bothered His children, it's a bad call for them. And boy, are they going to get it. Okay, let's return, if we made it, to the New Testament. Matthew 25, please. Matthew 25, we're going to pick it up with verse 31. You all know what happened back in 24. The seven signs, which are the seven trumps, were explained in detail of exactly how the end would come to pass in that 24th chapter of Matthew. We'll be getting there real soon in teaching this great book. We're going to pick it up with verse 31 for separate yourselves, divide. 31, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him," this is only one fixed time, you should recognize that, "then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory." It's going to happen. He's taken over, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. 32, "And before Him shall He gather all nations," not part of them, "all nations, and He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth," there's your word, "divideth His sheep from His goats." 33, "And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left." 34, "Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit." You've inherited the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's from the very beginning. It's why you want to pay Paul back by not yoking yourself to an unbeliever. By knowing the truth and the Word. By allowing that Holy Spirit to dwell in you. This time is coming. It's at the door. But the foundation of the world for the elect, it was set there. God's plan of salvation was placed in motion there. And how He loves His elect. Verse 35, "For I was an hungered, and You gave Me meat. I was thirsty, and You gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and You took me in. I want you to understand what he's saying here, because a lot of people take advantage of this. They'll pop in and say, I'm a stranger at your door. Feed me. Well, I'm supposed to feed you or give you a drink of the living water. That's Christ's gospel. Are you ready to receive it? That is exactly what I have in mind. Well, that's what he's talking about. Okay. That you are to give those that ask the living water. Not just a cup of water. What good is that? Okay. You know, you drink it, it's gone. But if you give them a cup of living water, it's forever. It stays with them. Christ is that living water. Give them meat. Give them, don't give them milk. Okay? Give them meat from God's Word that they can withstand these perilous times. That they can know and understand. That's what Christ is saying. This is what you're supposed to do. 36, naked? And you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came into me. And when they are naked spiritually, what is it that you're going to clothe them with? The gospel armor. Okay. That's important, that you know how to clothe the naked person. You understand I'm speaking spiritually now, okay? I'm not talking about BBDs and garments of that nature. I'm talking spiritual, gospel armor. Put on a girt, which is the Word of God that'll hold your britches up. Okay, it'll make something out of you. And put on that shield, which is faith in Almighty God that will protect them. Give them something that's lasting, that changes lives, that separates them from unbelievers, that makes believers out of them. That's what Christ wants you to do. That's what he's talking about. That's what put the sheep on one side and the goats on the other. And being sick, you know, the people are sick emotionally today. The truth wakes them up, makes them vivaciously anxious to serve Almighty God, okay? And health and bondage of man's traditions. And you take those big scissors of truth and you cut those bands off of them and let them go free in Almighty God's Word. Okay. That's how it's done. Verse 37. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered? And fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? Question. 38. When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? 39. Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? Listen carefully. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, Inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. When you take the least little seed and you plant it in some lost soul's mind, they may be somebody you work with that just can't understand why it is that things aren't going good for them. And I'm not saying where you work is a good place to preach. Don't do that, okay, if it's against rules. But a friend or someone you run across, a stranger, plant that good seed. It changes lives. There's only one thing that will really fortify a life and give it purpose and destiny, and that's the Word of God. Everything else is temporary. It's a crutch. It's just something that gets by. But God's Word is forever. It's for the eternity. And the least little person that you can see fit to plant that seed, protecting your credibility. Don't get on the street corner and say, hear ye, okay? Just, you know when God makes it possible. Plant that seed. You're doing it for Him and to Him. And it goes in the book. It's by your name. And God loves you for it. And that's why Paul would say, as well as Christ, hey, this is how I won't pay back, separate, divide. You know, division sounds like it tears stuff up. No, it doesn't. It puts things in proper perspective, okay? Because we can be wherever we want to be and still plant the seed, but at the same time not be yoked to a disbelief because you're a believer. You believe solidly, and you know that Christ is the Son of God, and you know that He brought us this truth. The opposite side of this is a little bit severe, and we find what that is when He would continue on. 42, when I was hungry, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you visited me not. Okay, let's back up. For 41, then shall He say unto them on the left hand, that's, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Boy, that's a crowd you don't want to be with. But then you don't want to be with unbelievers either, as far as being yoked up is concerned, my friends. You've got to be careful. For I was at hunger, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. You never said anything to me about the living water. You never shared with me Christ and that woman at the well that had five husbands and was living with an old boy right then she wasn't married to, and how Christ took her and told her about the living water. You didn't share that. 43, I was a stranger, and you took me not in, naked, and you clothed me not, sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. I had trouble. I had people that had trouble, and they came to you, and you didn't tell them about the gospel armor. You didn't tell them what really strengthened them. Verse 44, then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee in hunger and the thirst, and, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? 45, then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The choice is not a difficult one. You want that eternal life. It's the only way to travel, okay? Only way to fly. Eternal life. Being with Him. And I hope we don't have any people get in the rapture doctrine on me here when I say fly. Okay? We got work to do right here. And we plant those seeds and we do that work and we try to not yoke ourselves with unbelievers. We help unbelievers. We can work with unbelievers. But we don't yoke ourselves to them. Because it destroys your credibility with other people. It hinders your work, your freedom. You're set free, and then you handcuff yourself. You shackle yourself. You don't want to do that. That's not wise. Stay free in Almighty God, and know those components that our Father wants you to share. You know, it doesn't take much. You know, if a family that is a neighbor loses a loved one, they're tore up. If they're not real good Christians, they don't know where that soul is. You do. And when you can tell them, that's planting a seed that is so precious to them, it can change a whole family by raising them up, knowing that that soul is, they're not going to place it out here in a hole in the ground. It's with the Father. And being with the Father, because He loves them. So, that's why you want to stay free and have the ability to love, to honor, and to respect Almighty God, whereby He can use you. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Father, again, for the privilege of being allowed to serve You, Father. Let each of these be a blessing to all they come in contact with, Father. We'll be careful to give You the praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
The mark of the beast is standing high.